Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with Solomon's Prayer of Dedication as we pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 17. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Now then, O Yahweh, God of Israel, let the word be verified, which you have spoken unto your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. He had a true concept of God, and that is that God is omnipresent. He fills the entire universe. And thus God cannot be localized. If the whole universe cannot contain God, how much less this house that I have built? Sometimes I fear lest we have a sense of God being in a certain place. We develop that because there are places where God has revealed himself to us or God has met us, and they become a special place because of an experience that I had with God in that place. There are several places in which I've had a very marvelous experience of the presence of God where God met me. Now, there is a tendency to sort of make an altar in that place and to begin to worship the place. Oh, I long to go back. But we need to realize that God will meet me anywhere. That God is everywhere. And yes, we have this place where we come and meet God. We have this place where God manifests his presence to us. But if this place should burn down, God would still meet with us. If we were out there in the yard or out in the football field, God would meet with us. The Lord fills the universe. He doesn't occupy one place in it, but he occupies the entire universe. And if the entire universe cannot hold God, how much less this house that I have built? But yet, Lord, have respect, therefore, to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication. O Jehovah, my God, hearken unto the cry and the prayer which your servant prays before you, that your eyes will be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that you would put your name there, to hearken to the prayers which your servant pray towards this place. So, Lord, I know that the universe can't contain you, but let your eyes be upon this place that we have made and built and have dedicated unto thee. And when people come here to pray, Lord, let them really experience the power of your presence and the answers to their prayers. Hearken, therefore, unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when you hear, forgive. And so, Lord, let them turn towards this place to pray. Now, it became and is still the custom of the Jews when they pray to turn towards Jerusalem. No matter where they are, they always seek to face Jerusalem when they pray. And if they turn toward this place, then hearken from your place in heaven. And when you hear, forgive. And if a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and he swears upon the altar, he comes to the altar of God to take this oath, and he swears upon the altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked and by recompensing his way upon his own head and by justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. So, Lord, let there be from here righteous judgment going forth. If thy people Israel be put to the worse before their enemies, because they have sinned against thee. And notice, the problems are equated with sin. And all the way through, the problems will be equated with sin. If the people Israel are put to the worse before their enemies because they have sinned against thee, and if they shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel. Bring them again into the land which you gave to them and to their fathers. Now, if there come plagues upon the land, if the heaven is shut up, that there is no rain because they have sinned against thee. And again, equated with their sins. The judgments equated with sin. Yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon the land which you have given to the people for an inheritance. So, whatever happens, Lord, if the people will just turn to you and pray, then hear and answer their prayers. If there be a dearth in the land, or a pestilence, the blasting, or mildew, or locusts, or caterpillars, or if their enemies besiege them in the cities of the land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer and what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of the people Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore, his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. God, you see their hearts. And if their hearts are truly open, then, Lord, help them, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of your people Israel, but it's come from a far country because of your great name's sake and your mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. And if your people go out to war against their enemies, by the way that thou shalt send them, if you direct them into war, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and this house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heavens their prayer and the supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, and then he makes this notation, and note it carefully, for there is no man which sinneth not. If they sin against thee, and we know there is no man that sinneth not. Jesus was asked what he would do to the woman taken in adultery. He said, let you who is without sin cast the first stone. If thou be angry with them, and you deliver them before their enemies, and they are carried away as captives into a far-off land. Yet if they think themselves in the land whether they are carried captive, and they turn and they pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, we have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their mind in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives, and they pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications. Maintain their cause and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, I'd like you to turn for a moment to Daniel chapter 9. The nation of Israel had been taken captive to Babylon. They've been there for almost 70 years. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, he said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Jehovah my God, and I made my confession and said, O Jehovah, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy to those that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto your servants, the prophets, which spoke in your name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and unto all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us is confusion of faces as this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all of Israel that are near and that are far. Through all of the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings and to our princes. Now notice, as Daniel is praying, he is no doubt using what Solomon prayed as the basis. Earlier we read that he was turning and facing Jerusalem as he prayed, and now as he prays, they're in captivity. They've been carried away captive. His prayer is, first of all, the confession of sin. Lord, it's our fault. Isn't it interesting how we're so prone to blame God for anything that goes wrong? Rather than looking at our own sin and our own selves and saying, God, I have sinned, I've turned away, and, you know, I deserve this, we say, why would God allow this to happen to me? And we're always ready to blame God. The forgiveness and the whole process of renewal comes from the confession of sin. God, I have sinned against you. Daniel said, Lord, we have sinned. We didn't listen to the prophets that you sent. We have sinned against you, and you are righteous, Lord. We are the ones that are unrighteous. We have done this because we failed. We are experiencing this calamity because we failed. And so, facing Jerusalem, praying and confessing the sin, Daniel was following the very pattern that Solomon had declared here. And then Solomon said, now, my God, I beseech thee, let your eyes be open, let your ears be attent to the prayer that is made in this place. Oh, God, keep your eyes here, keep your ear attuned. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord, into thy resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice with goodness, in goodness, in the goodness of God. O Jehovah God, turn not away thy face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant. Glorious prayer of Solomon in the dedication of this temple, basically saying, God, let this be the place where people can come and receive answers to their prayers. Now, if you go today to Israel, going to the Western Wall, you see the whole wall lined with Jews praying. They are facing the wall because on the other side of that wall is where the temple once stood. And that's why when they go to the Western Wall, they always face the wall because of Solomon's prayer as they turn their face towards this place. And so if they were on the Eastern Wall, they would still be facing towards the temple. They always turn towards the temple, towards Jerusalem, to pray. And that comes from Solomon's prayer of dedication of the temple. If they turn towards this place, and if they pray, then hear thou from thy place in heaven, and answer their prayers, meet their needs. Now, we know that we don't have to turn in any direction to pray. You know, I don't have to face east, or I don't have to figure out which direction Jerusalem is, you know. That we can just offer our prayers to God from any place. And that the position of my body is not at all important or essential to prayer. I don't have to kneel to pray. I can kneel to pray. I don't have to. I don't have to lift my hands to pray. I can lift my hands to pray, but I don't have to. My prayers are not heard any more readily if my hands are lifted or if my hands are down, or if I'm kneeling or if I'm lying. There have been arguments, by religious people as what position you should be in to pray. And I think one fellow thoroughly answered the arguments as far as I'm concerned, whether you should be standing or kneeling or sitting or whatever. He said, if you should fall head first into a well, I'll bet you would pray head down. And I'm sure you would. And I'm sure it would make no difference to God what the position of the body. It's the heart that God is interested in. What is the condition of my heart when I'm praying unto God? That's what counts, the heart. And thus, God calls upon us to pray, to spend time with Him in communion, in fellowship. Some churches have a tradition of always facing the altar when they pray. And we had a lady here in church one day who was highly incensed. She met me at the door, and she was visibly shaken, and she wanted to know why I didn't face the altar when I prayed. I was caught by surprise, and so I answered very quickly, because I don't believe that God lives in the altar. Why should you face the altar? I mean, it doesn't matter which direction you're facing when you're praying. God is everywhere, and we can call upon Him anywhere, and we should call upon Him at all times. And now, in chapter 7, when Solomon had finished this prayer, made an end of praying, then the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, back in chapter 5, we read that when the priests began to sound with their trumpets, and when the people began to sing, Asaph and the others that were appointed as singers, when their sound of the music and the voices became as one in praise unto God, that at that point, the glory of the Lord filled the temple so that the priests were not able to stand to minister in the temple. So this glory of God is resting there in the temple. But now, as Solomon finishes the prayer of dedication, the glory of God's still there. Now the second manifestation of God's power and presence, as fire comes from God and consumes these sacrifices that were there upon the altar. Very reminiscent of the dedication of the tabernacle in the wilderness that Moses had made. The tabernacle was called the tent of meeting. It is the place where God's people come to meet God. Also the place of sacrifice. For the people cannot meet God apart from sacrifice. Because of the sin of the people and the righteousness of God, you can't bring sinful man together with a righteous God except something be done about the sins. And thus the place of sacrifices, where the animals were sacrificed for man's sin and thus make the meeting with God a possibility. And thus it was called the tent of meeting. Now, what the tabernacle was to the children of Israel in the wilderness, the temple is to be to the nation of Israel that they've established in the land. This is the place that God has chosen where people would meet Him. It is the Mount of Sacrifice, where the sacrifices are to be made in order to open the door whereby they may come to God. Of course, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the place of meeting. For He offered Himself as a sacrifice for our sins once and for all. And by His putting away our sin, He makes fellowship with God a reality and a possibility for us, so that we come boldly into the throne of grace to receive mercy in our time of need, as Jesus has opened the door for you and for me.
return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with The Warnings of God. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD, and phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing prayer.
Father, we're so thankful for this relationship that we have with you in the new covenant through Jesus Christ. And that through Jesus Christ, a better way has been provided, where we have access, direct access unto the throne of grace, whereby we can come boldly and let our needs and our requests be known, because Jesus has made the way. Through his blood, we've been brought nigh. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege of prayer. Now, Lord, you know our hearts and you see our hearts. Make them pure, Lord, like you are pure. Give us a heart after thee, even as David had a heart that was after thee, O Lord. And may we seek you with all of our hearts. May we love you with all of our hearts. And may we serve you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to talk to you about being ready as a Christian, ready to give an answer to anyone, anywhere, who might ask you about Jesus Christ. And the only way to be prepared is to know and to memorize the scriptures. For this very reason, I'm excited to present to you the long-awaited release of Pastor Chuck Smith's Through the Bible Commentary, C3000 edition. Get ready to study the Bible in a whole new way. Listen to Pastor Chuck as he teaches Hebrew and Greek word origins, biblical dates and history, archaeological information, church history, and of course, practical applications to apply to your life on a day-to-day basis. Get ready to be a great biblical scholar with the help of Pastor Chuck's Through the Bible Commentary. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. That's 800-272-WORD. Or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.